Will you please turn with me to some scripture? I'm going to actually begin, I believe, with let me talk about let's just read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this set a last day setting for this message on continuing to cultivate a greatly grateful heart. I talked to you about something that wasn't as seemingly insignificant as it may have sounded. It made you smile about happy feet and the penguins finding their heart song. Every Christian needs to have a heart song. You will never discover. How many would like to have a heart song where you could praise God continually? Something that wells up inside, no matter what the circumstance may be, the immediate circumstance, something that just continues to well up and spill over in praise. Everybody say, well up and spill over in praise. If you have to work it up, it's not welling up. And Jesus spoke of the Spirit this way, that out of your belly, amen, your inwardmost being. Everybody has got a belly, pat it. Amen. You'll find it. It's there. Believe me. Don't make me have to come find it. You gentlemen. I'm talking about you gentlemen. Amen. It's there. I know. Listen, it wasn't talking about your stomach where your food is processed. When scriptures use the word belly, it's talking about your center. They believed that your soul was in the center of your being or was central to your being. And they use the word belly because the belly is the center to your body. And inside your body is an eternal spirit and soul that's central. So they said, Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your inward man, your innermost being, shall flow. And I used to say livers of riven water. And it always brought a smile. When I mess up, everybody seems to grin. They get the biggest kick out of that. So I know how to lift you up emotionally, but I want to do more than that today. Rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Now, when I praise God, listen, when you pray, Paul said, I don't just pray in and of myself. I pray with my understanding, and I pray with the Spirit. And he said, I sing the same way. My praises are the same way. Amen. I praise him in my own ability to say thank you to the Lord. But then the Holy Ghost comes and helps me to praise him. Amen. He said, sometimes my prayer loses the vernacular, the verbiage, and it turns into groanings that only God can understand. And he said, when I give way to the Holy Spirit in prayer, he said literally, he makes intercession. And he does it according to the will of God. Can you say amen? According to the will of God. Now, the Bible said to every one of us here, and it doesn't matter, you may have a package of tapes. You may have a stack of good biblical teaching on prayer. Let me clue you into something today. You don't always know how to pray as you ought. That's one of the first principles of prayer. It's not faith to get what you think or you want or you will. It's surrender and a spiritual sensitivity and actually deferring to the Holy Spirit so you can get what God will. Amen. Prayer is not just answered consistently in our life because of our faith and our confession of the Word as it's being presented. God has a say in all of this. Amen. How many has ever raised any children? How many did you let them do everything they wanted to do? I would have eat ice cream for every meal with fudge sauce on it. I remember when my wife and I first got married, we went crazy. All the things we couldn't do as kids. See, we were still kids, 14 and 16. When you marry at 14, somebody said, you robbed the cradle. Did not. I jumped in it with her. Can you say, man? We were both kids. Heck, a 16-year-old can't rob no cradle from no 14-year-old. We just got together in the cradle. Amen. But when we first began to have just maybe, you know, $2 or $3, you know what we did with it? We ran down the store and got a half gallon of cheap ice cream. Because you really didn't need to taste the ice cream with all the stuff we're going to put on top of it. Can you say amen? You don't need high quality vanilla bean vanilla, amen, from Breyers or somebody. When you're going to, here we are, 14 and 16. I wasn't even going to tell that, Sister Venable. We decided we're going to have us a ice cream sundae for breakfast. I got $3.50, and we can get that ice cream for 69 cents a half gallon back then, back in the day. And then you can get the little can of the Hershey's chocolate. And then you can get a little thing of, it's walnuts in some kind of sweet syrup. You can pour that on it. And you can pour the chocolate on it. And then you can get some caramel. Oh, yeah. We're adults now. We can do anything we want. Amen. We're going to eat some ice cream for breakfast. We're going to have, this is going to be the finest Saturday morning breakfast you ever saw. We're going to have ice cream. We're going to have walnuts in that syrupy stuff. We're going to have caramel, and we're going to have chocolate. And sure enough, we sit there with two bowls of cheap ice cream. Didn't matter because all that stuff is on it. And we sit there, and we eat that, and we thought, man, it's great to be grown up. We can do what we want to do now. Breakfast in bed. Yes, we ate it in bed. We jumped because it's chilly. We jump under the covers. We never had enough heat, but we're eating that ice cream and all that sugar. Oh, man. And you know what? If our parents had any control or say, they wouldn't let us have what we want, because it really isn't the breakfast of champions. Can you say amen? That's not Wheaties and bananas and good whole milk. No, this was our fulfilling a fleshly desire, because now we're free to do. And listen, the God in prayer and in praise and in worship, the Holy Spirit wants to be deeply, personally involved. You have a Father which is in heaven. And he does, not just a father in terms of a Daddy Warbucks in the sky that you get whatever you want, you confess it, you claim it, you blab it, grab it, name it, claim it. That's not how prayer works. Prayer begins with surrender. Our Father which art in heaven. This is a pattern for all prayer, by the way. The principles in this prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. The actual Lord's Prayer is in John 17, the last prayer he prayed that's recorded before he ascended to the Father, and it was for us. Amen. But they ask him, teach us to pray. So this is our pattern for all prayer, and it begins with a Father in heaven. Now, a Father in heaven does more than just give us what we want. He gives us what we need. That's why Paul said, but my God shall supply all of your need. It didn't read, I'll give you anything you want if you just believe me for it. But I'll give you everything you need. And he knows what we have need of. The Bible went on to say, don't worry about what you shall eat, drink, what wherewith you shall be clothed. Your Father knows what you want. No, he knows what you have need of. Can you say amen? And my God shall supply all of your need. Right now in Africa, there is a pastor who's climbing on a bicycle. He's going to ride about 10 miles to preach this morning. He's going to praise God that he don't have to walk 10 miles. Amen? He's got a brand new Schwinn or whatever it is, and God provided it. And he's going to be praising God all the way. Thank you, Lord. Because that's what he needs to do, what he's called to do, and he's so happy to have his need met. If we'd got up this morning, there said a Schwinn instead of our vehicle. It's too cold. We wouldn't see this dear sister. Amen. So what I'm getting at, whether it be prayer or praise, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Otherwise, we're not going to have a worship service. We're going to put on the program. And everybody's going to be invited to watch instead of participate in the program. Paul said, I will pray with my understanding. I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll sing with understanding. I'll sing words that are written that expresses the sentiment of my heart. But I won't let that be the end of it. I will sing with the Spirit as well. Can you say amen? Have you ever been in a congregation that's happened in ours or that doesn't happen regularly? Not necessarily need to happen regularly. But occasionally, praise will start. And praise will start coming from the audience. And God somehow, like a symphony, will direct something that Mike could never get. If he took all of us, because some of us, you know, are flat, some of us sing. Can you catch that? Oh, it's that. Okay. That's okay. He's got it. Just so we don't miss a call, because some of them we have emergencies we don't want to miss. Listen, I'm not upset. I'm just saying we catch emergencies here if they come. One time I was preaching, and I believe me, I'll get my thought back. One time I was preaching about God sending His word, and we got a call right in the middle of the service from the radio station in Madison, amen, giving us, offering us an hour on Sunday, amen. While I was preaching about the word going forth, we got a call to open up for the word to go even further. Praise God. So we take those kind of calls. Praise God. God wants to interrupt us with a blessing. We're ready for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen. Amen. I will pray with my understanding. I will praise with my understanding. And I will pray with the Spirit. And I will praise, amen, with the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. The Bible said, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always, consistently, making melody in your heart. Always making melody. Everybody say my heart song. I can't quite get away from that today. Every Christian needs to discover your heart song. It's good to listen to Sandy Patty hit the high note. Sandy Patty could sing opera. Amen. Anybody ever heard her hit the high note? It's so high. I mean, you don't want to bring any of your crystal out while she's singing. It might crack something. Amen. But that's not your heart song. Amen. My dad loves bluegrass music, gospel bluegrass. Man, get a fiddle and a banjo and a mandolin and sing those high harmonies. They've got his undivided attention. Amen. He just loves it. He eats it up. He's from the mountains. He thrives on it. Amen. But listen, there's a point in my dad's life that he needs a heart song. Not just to watch somebody sing, but to have a praise. Amen. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Always making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not to a congregation in a performance, but to the Lord. I believe you enter into your prayer closet, and I believe you need a praise place as well. Can you say amen? If God wants you to be intimate and personal with Him in a prayer closet, and He wants you to shut everything else out, I believe He wants you to be intimate and personal with Him in a time of praise. I believe on the way to work is a good time. I used to praise God all the way to my job. Amen. And then I was in a state of mind when I got to my job. It changed things. There were times when I had a few minutes, I'd look at my watch and I'd just sit in my truck and I'd just praise God. I'd just sit there and praise God. Amen. Just thank Him for His goodness and His mercy and His grace. Sometimes I'd put on a song that I like just to get me going, like my coffee gets me going. Amen. Well, a praise song is like Holy Ghost caffeine to me. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I don't just have it immediately after I get up and I've had a bad night and a bad day and a snap, crackle, and pop used to be my breakfast cereal. Now it's all my bones when I roll out of bed in the morning. Amen. I go like this and I hear snap, crackle, pop. Times, they are changing. Amen. But I'll tell you, I put on some praise music, those songs that I like, that I just feel like is saying what I want to say in my heart to God. I get about halfway to work and I feel it coming up on the inside of me. Welling up out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Part of that river is praise. Part of that river is prayer. Part of that river is a proclamation of the gospel. But all of it is part of a river that's coming from within, welling up, flowing out. Everybody say, coming from within, welling up, and flowing out. Praise God. Say that again. Coming from within, welling up, and flowing out. Praise God. We think of it as just flowing out to people. We think of just our witness, our testimony, our preaching abilities. No, this is welling up and flowing out to God. And when people see, amen, us glorifying the Lord, welling up and flowing out, praise God. Amen. It begins to touch them and it lets them know that we don't just have a symbolic God or a philosophical God or an idealistic God. We have a true and living God that we love and that loves us back. Hallelujah. Amen. Religious people that only have his religion never feel anything welling up because they're just practicing religion. People that have a relationship with Jesus, it's different. It's different. Praise God. I remember a man at work for years. I was a witness to him while never witnessing to him. And I remember when he finally got saved. And he was in his 50s when he finally surrendered to Jesus. And he had a real, genuine, born-again experience. I remember him. He's a real personal friend of mine. And he was a good guy before he got saved. He was a great guy after he got saved. And one of the things that marked him was this welling up praise. He said, "Did you see that advertisement on TV?" Because, see, I'd heard those praise songs that they now are putting out in a package deal from Hillsong and a bunch of the other ones. I'd heard them over and over. We've sung them here. But to him, new Christian, he found worship that expressed what he was feeling. He said, "Did you see them tapes on TV by that group, something, something?" He called the group's name wrong. He didn't know the name of any of the groups that were, you know, really into worship. He said, "I sent for them." He said, "I got them." He said, "I play them on the way to work. I play it on the way home." He said, "One day I was praising God and I realized that I had taken both hands off the wheel." I said, "Man, you know, the Bible said watch and pray. You need to watch and praise too. Then you say, man, keep one hand on the wheel, at least one eye open while you're praising God and driving." Amen. That'd be hard to explain, wouldn't it? Why I went off the road and into the ditch. Amen. It's because, well, I was just praising God. And, you know, I just lift both hands and shut my eyes and praised Him. No, they caught a lady on U.S. 92 that went over the bridge down into where it becomes Hillsboro. There's kind of, they used to call it the viaduct, but it's a fertilizer plant right there, and it used to be a shopping center over here. She just crossed over that and went off and tore down a sign and tore up something else and didn't hurt her bad. It just tore the car up, and she tore up a bunch of stuff. And the highway patrol asked her what she was doing to lose control of the vehicle. And she said, "Well, I had been at work all day, and I sit at an office all day, at a desk all day." And she said, "This girl was strangling me, and I decided to take it off." She's driving, and I don't know if you can imagine trying to get a girdle off. There's a point where you got to use both hands, brother. I've never had one, but I've seen it done. Amen. And I know it takes both hands. Them things clean. Come on. Takes both hands, son. I'm telling you right now. Amen. He's a single man. He doesn't understand. But it does. It takes both hands. And at some point, she took both hands off the wheel to try to wiggle out of that. Of course, the car is going down the road. The car got to go somewhere. But this guy was so into praise that he wanted to praise God with both hands. He just couldn't hardly. Listen, it's hard to solicit in many church services any kind of response from an audience, because the praise team's doing it all, the choir is doing it all, the preacher's doing it all. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, out of your belly, the Holy Spirit was given to you, not just to tell other people about Jesus alone, but to tell Jesus about how you feel about Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I will pray with my understanding, and I will pray with the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding. Bless God, I'll sing with the Spirit. Somewhere between where I would leave home and my job, I'd feel it welling up. I'd start praising Him. I'd sing with the song. But that wasn't enough. I wanted to say something more. But there was nothing in my vocabulary. In fact, there's nothing in Webster's Bridge Dictionary. There's nothing, amen, in Merriam-Webster. There's nothing in the creation of the human language that can express the joy that wells up when you really have a real relationship with the living God. Can you say amen? There are no words. So God said, "I'm going to give you some words to praise me with. I'm going to give you some words to express what you feel. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a language to talk to me in that has no known language on this planet, but it's the language of the heart. I believe tongues is not just the Holy Spirit talking. I believe He's giving you utterance to express what God, hallelujah, is letting you sense in your heart. He's not just doing it in spite of you. He is in you, working with you, flowing out of you to God in praise." And at some point it would turn to another language. But there was a satisfaction, because now in this language, I knew I was saying to God, what my heart was feeling. Anybody ever been to a card shop? I used this illustration at a funeral to introduce the song. Who's ever been to a Hallmark shop? It's okay. It's not sinful. It's okay. Every time I ask, have you been there? Hallmark, what did they do wrong? It's not a trick question. All of them, some of them are, granted, but don't be gun shy. Most of them are. How many's ever been to a Hallmark shop? How many's ever read what was in a card? How many's ever bought a card because you liked not just the picture on the front? I mean, my son sometimes, my youngest son, he's 36 years old. He finds a picture he likes. He don't even look what's inside it. It might be a happy anniversary for a birthday card for his mama. But if he liked the flower on the front, he said, mama liked that. Yeah, one time it was your birthday and he got you a sympathy card. They had a beautiful flower. Well, there's a certain age, maybe that's appropriate. I don't know. Sorry to hear of your loss. But ultimately, most people, they're trying to match something on the front, but more importantly is what it's saying. And when you find a card that expresses what you feel and you want to say, but you can't articulate it as well as Hallmark. Hallmark can take those sentiments in your heart and put it in prose and verse to say something. And sometimes it says it so well, I think, oh, I wish I had thought of that, but I could have never thought of this. Amen. But I will underline certain points to say, that's what I'm trying to tell you, girl. That's what I want you to know. That's how much I love you. That's how I feel about you. That's what I feel when I think about you. See, if you just put that in a card, nobody would buy it. But if you put it in all the beautiful language that they can put it in, then people buy it because it's saying what they're feeling. And that's why people go to Hallmark and American Greetings. You know what the Holy Spirit is given for? Amen. One of the reasons, one of the great reasons, not necessarily the greatest, being a witness unto Him. But listen to this. Amen. What we feel in our heart toward God, He gives us the ability to articulate. Amen. Suddenly it goes from anything I can say in the human language to the language of my heart. Can you say, I feel when I'm speaking in tongues in praise and worship, amen, that I'm talking to Him heart to heart. You don't understand. Heart to heart. Heart to heart. I got an old dog named Sophie. She was a stray. I got two rescue dogs. Remember the little dog that came here? Well, he's even longer and bigger around now. We feed him. We spoil him. Rescue dogs seem to love their masters even more and full of appreciation. And sometimes me and that dog communicate in a language, both those dogs, that I don't say anything to the dog. Dogs never spoke to me. One time I came home from, and I come in, and I say, what's up, my dog? And the dog is yet to answer me. Dog has never answered me. Amen. Even though he's my dog and should know what's up. Can you say amen? Never answered me. But the other day, Sophie went out, and it was cold. And she laid down on her pillow outside, which is her day bed, you know, and she laid down after we got her out. We keep her in at night out of the cold. And this old dog that was left wandering the neighborhood that they would euthanize because nobody would have wanted an old mama dog that's wore out with arthritis. But she's the sweetest old thing, amen, that you ever saw. And when she goes limping, when she gets up in the morning, it makes me feel better. I say, you know, amen. And I see her limping out. And she find her place to plop down. But it was cold out there. And I went out, and I took a warm blanket out there where she was. And we were getting ready to go because it was cloudy. Yeah, it wasn't freezing. We don't leave them out in the freezing. But I took a warm blanket, and I put it over, and I tucked it in. And she looked up at me. She didn't have to say a word. I saw it in her eyes. And we made, there was a heart-to-heart communication between me and, you know, something that words don't do. Holy Spirit comes, amen, wants to give us a heart song, wants us to be able to make melody, always, always making melody in our heart to the Lord. In order to do that, we got to be always focused on His goodness. We can't be focused on all these distracting things. We got to be focused on His love constantly, on the cross constantly, on how much He loved us because it wells up. The gratefulness, the gratitude. See, all of this is undergirded by thankfulness. If you don't cultivate a greatly grateful heart, or me, I'm going to be distracted from that. And I'm not going to always make melody in my heart to the Lord. I'm only going to do it on cue on Sunday morning. And then it's worked up. It didn't come from a greatly grateful heart. I haven't cultivated that attitude of gratitude to the point that it just wells up. And you just can't help but praise Him. There used to be a song, "Can't Help." I just can't stop praising Him. And I think it's about a 10-minute song because they just can't stop. I'm not talking about the studio version. We got one from Jimmy Swaggart Ministries one time that Sean brought, I believe. How long is that song? An hour, one song. Hour and 7 minutes. We'll probably quit off on that song today, so set your... Not really. It's an hour and 7 minutes of singing the same song because they got caught up in worship and just couldn't stop. At midnight, scheduled to be possibly killed the next day, Paul and Silas prayed and their heart song was still there. Amen. And they sang praises unto God. And while they, and everyone, then they sung them aloud because everyone in the prison heard them singing those praises to God. Amen. And while they were singing, that place began to shake. The prison began to shake. Hallelujah. Amen? And the doors, because of the quaking and shaking, they just sprung open. I mean, the whole prison, every cell door just sprung open. And everybody in the place walked out. And the jailer fell and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "They're going to kill me, Paul. Everybody's escaped and they're going to kill me because I let them all go." You know what Paul said? Now, these are convicted felons. This wasn't the Christians that were in jail. Amen? They're all here. Why didn't they just run off? Because they knew this is... Why did a man stop when there's fire on a bush? Why did a man... He was so busy. Why did he stop when that fire was on that bush but it didn't burn it up? He said, "I'm going to turn aside and see this thing." Amen? We got so many hooks to try to get people interested in godly things. What we need is just God Himself. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? We don't have a hook, but we have a great God. Listen to me. Amen. I'm going to turn aside. They weren't going to leave that. They said, "God is here. God is here. God has just done something supernatural and miraculous here. Amen. This is worth more than my freedom. I'm not running for my life. I'm standing right here." And I believe their hearts were convicted. It didn't elaborate on that, but the jailer said, "Then what must I do to be saved?" "We're all right here," Paul said. "Nobody went anywhere. The cells are all open, but everybody's standing there because God is moving. There's a sense of presence and power, something different than they'd ever known, can you say, man, was taking place. God was manifesting Himself. And two men prayed and sealed their prayer with praise unto God. Always making melody in your heart." They prayed and sang praises. Amen. Most Christians have never discovered their heart song. That's why the choir has to be really good to keep them entertained and focused, because they didn't bring a heart song for God. They're not asked to deliver it if they did bring it. Amen. If you start singing too loud, you'll throw the choir off. Amen. Amen. So just hush and listen. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, Sister Hoop and Dicker, stand up and try to hit that high C and start screeching like something crazy. Amen. We don't want that here. We practice too long. We practice way too long and hard to get it right for anybody to make noise out there and mess it up. Can you say amen? Well, my Bible said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." God loves joyful noise better than He does pitch perfect singing. He'd rather hear a true expression from the heart that sounds like moaning and groanings than he would that beautiful, elaborate, eloquent prayer that should be embroidered onto some piece of fabric and framed in the Christian bookstore and sold for $85.50. Amen. Amen. About the last place you need to go to get a deal on a Bible is a Christian bookstore. Well, they just don't have the outlet for it all. So their overhead is more, they charge more. There's not that much flow like there is in chains. So I'm not criticizing. I'm saying that Christians go to church and they know when they get there. One lady left our church one time because we didn't have a bulletin. Made her very uncomfortable not being able to see where the service was going. Because where she left, this happens at this time, and this happens, the choir proceeds at 10 after, and then they reseed at 25 after. And, you know, everything is, and it's all done, and you stop. Everything stops. No matter what, it stops within a gnat's eyebrow of 12 o'clock. Starts at 11 sharp, ends at 12 dull. People can't wait. Yeah, it is dull at the end. You know how you know it's dull? Because 5 minutes to 12, everybody's saying, he better wrap it up. He better wrap it up. He got 5 minutes. Don't sound like he's done. He better wrap it up. And we're wondering why we don't have a revival in here. I was healed of leukemia in a church that it didn't have no end. It didn't have no end time. Fact is, they were in services 7 days a week. Can you imagine that? There was a service every night, 7 nights a week. Can you imagine a church and people filling it? Brother and Sister Hodges that came to our church, they were part of that congregation. 7 days a week, they were in the balcony praying for the services at night. And it really didn't matter who did the preaching. God moved. We had all kinds of people come through. Evangelists would come through. Our pastor would preach. It didn't matter. God moved no matter who was preaching because people were hungry. Everybody say people are hungry. Today it's cut and dried, entertaining, high octane, convenient. Amen? We have to hook people with something. But I'm telling you, you need a heart song. Remember the song, You Can't Tell It Like I Can Tell It, What He's Done For Me. Amen? Remember the song, Before the Rocks Cry Out. I just got to praise Him. Before the rocks cry out, what you talking about? Amen. This is not science fiction stuff. This is not something from the Twilight Zone. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Amen. The children begin to praise God as Jesus came in to Jerusalem. And he said, and the disciples tried to shush them. They were so excited. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means God saves. Hallelujah. Praise God. They were celebrating a God of salvation. Praise the Lord. A God of deliverance. A mighty, wonderful, matchless, majestic, gracious, good God. Hallelujah. And they tried to shush them. And he said, let them alone. For it is written, out of the mouth of babes, praise is perfected. When you get older and you get religious, and you lose that spontaneous expression of joy and love that comes from the heart in earnest. And you have to be pushed, prodded, manipulated somehow or another to get you to do something. Like everybody raise your hand now. Raise your hand if you love the Lord. We used to sing, we used to get something to get everybody loosened up. It's called a loosen up song. Love is a flag flown high. We always did it faster than it was written. Amen. It's a get up and get with it song. Amen. Everybody come in dead tired, jerked through a knothole backward, drug out, emotionally stunned by all the trials of life. And we would get, love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, castle of my heart. And that poor smoke coming off the guitar. My dad saw in the fiddle, you could watch that bow, those horsehair on that bow coming loose and dangling. He's going like that. Listen, next time you're in a fast food restaurant, they're not playing restful music because you're taking up a seat. They want you to get it, chew it, swallow it, and get on the road so that table can open up. Golden Corral wants you out of there. They're not playing. Da, 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 da. They're not playing that. Honey, no, they're playing da 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 da. Amen. And you catch yourself going to the rhythm of that. Well, we had that wake up song. Oh yeah, elevators. You got nowhere to go. And you know what they call that soft music? Elevator music. Why? Because And funerals, you can hear that at funerals most of the time. Can you say amen to elevator music? If I wasn't dead, it'd make me want to just lay down beside whoever's there. But anyway, God is good. God is good. Amen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. When you get a heart song for God because you're filled with gratitude for what Christ has done for you, you want to be in an atmosphere where you can just let it loose. And you do it in your personal life, not just in your church experience. Try sometime switching channels. Maybe you listen to the talk show. Maybe you listen to a particular type of popular music. Try sometime, amen, finding some music that inspires you, amen, to worship Him. Amen. Speak to yourself. It's easier to do now than ever because we got CDs. Amen. We can put in the disc. I remember we had a 60 by 12 trailer. We finally got a big one. 60 by 12. We thought we were in heaven. I'm in heaven. We got a 60 by 12 mobile home. We come out of a little old bitty thing, and we were so happy to be in that. And we come out of an 8 wide, 10 wide, 10 wide to a 12 wide. Oh, man, 60 by 12. Pamela would go off. I'd get home from work. Pamela, after we got saved, she would, you know, I come home with the check. She grabs the check and runs for the grocery store because by the time we got that check, we got paid every 2 weeks from Tampa Electric. The time that check come in, the cupboard was bare. And so she had to go. And that night was steak night. Check night was steak night. You get paid every 2 weeks. You have steak the first of the week. And you have hamburger helper down at the end of the week. Amen. That's how that works. But that was steak night, the big night. Amen. So she would get in the car and take off. That meant I was there by myself. And kids, but they were out going nuts and everything. So I was there by myself. Yeah, they went nuts. Your kids go nuts too. But anyway, and I had this 33 RPM record, and it was from A. A. Allen service. And there was a particular song on there. That it wasn't my heart song because I hadn't learned to get deeply in love with the Lord yet, but it was just so exciting to be saved. And I thought, I've been working all day, putting up with bad language all day, been out in the heat all day. I need some refreshment. So I fixed me something really good. I had that one track, and I remember the song because there was a young black man that led the choir for A.E. Allen services. And man, that guy. And then there was a guy over here anointed on a big Hammond organ. Not just a keyboard. He had a big, big, huge Hammond organ. And it had a Leslie. And inside that Leslie speaker, there was a fan that went around to just push those sound waves out to a big old tent meeting. And this stuff was taped live, not in a studio, but live in a tent meeting where the anointing was falling. And that choir got to singing, I've been running for Jesus a long time. He would take the lead, I've been running for Jesus a long time. And they would echo, and I'm not tired yet. But they didn't do it at that tempo. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I've been lifting up Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I'm not tired yet. I'm not tired yet. Honey, you talk about getting happy feet. There was nobody there to see me but Jesus. And about halfway through that song, I'd feel it welling up. The joy of Jesus. Just, I'm saved. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I'm ready if He comes. If I draw my last breath absent from the body, it was so real. Praise God. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I hadn't got over it yet. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I want more of it. That was the anthem of my heart. Praise God. And I would put that song on and nobody there but me. And I'd get happy feet. And I know I have no rhythm, but God didn't care. Can you say amen? Amen. I do have rhythm. Boy, if I'd have known that, I'd have danced even harder. Hallelujah. Amen. But I danced before the Lord. Just me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. Amen. On the way to work, it's just me and Jesus. Amen. If I didn't hit the note right, He didn't care what He cared about. I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, have every choir that way. It'd be terrible for us to listen to. But God loves a joyful noise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God loves the joy expressed in us in a real and relevant way. Amen. Every Christian, you don't have to do what I did. One elder in our church, Spirit of God would come upon him, and here's what he would do. Now, I can do that. That's all I got. That's my wide open. Maybe you can do it quicker. But he literally got happy feet. Or a happy foot. And you could tell when the Spirit of God, it would start like that. It would go to that. And I'd look over at him. You'd hear that pop, 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 pop. And then you'd hear pop, 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 pop. And he was an old guy. And I'm telling you, now I'm old guy. And I can't do what he was doing. But if the Spirit of God came on him, that foot would go. Pop, 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 pop. Remember Sister Bargeron? Spirit of God came on her. Same thing happened. She got a foot going like that. I can't explain this stuff to you. You can call it emotionalism if you want to. But I've never seen anybody. I was lost before I got saved. Went to clubs. I never saw nobody, amen, get something like that where they couldn't drive their car. I saw them too drunk to drive. I never saw them with a foot going like that. Amen. Spirit of God come on her. Amen. And that foot was going. The service got over. Everybody left but my wife and I and her. Amen. There we were waiting on the Spirit of God to come off of her so she could drive home. And you know, and she could talk to you. She wasn't lost in the Spirit. It was just and we, you know, the Holy Ghost had fell that night in a particular way. That's the term we use. He actually come up from within, but that's another story. But anyway, she was like that. And my wife and I said, do you think you're going to be able to get home? And she said, I don't think I can drive. Amen. Because that foot was going just like that. Amen. So we took her to the back seat of our car and all the way back. You remember Thumper in Bambi? Amen. It sounded like Thumper was in my back seat all the way to her house. We helped her front door and said, can you get on in and take care of yourself? She said, yeah. We left her that way. Amen. We called her to check on her the next day and she said, all night long I laid in the bed and that thing just shook like that. Spirit of God just came on her, rested on her. She was reacting not out of emotionalism, amen, but it was a physical reaction to a spiritual reality. Everybody say a physical reaction to a spiritual reality. It wasn't just emotion for the sake of emotion. This explains a lot of stuff to me. It is a physical reaction to a spiritual reality. You say, Brother Bimble, I can't see me doing this or that. You don't have to. Just embrace the spiritual reality. Everything else would just be everything else. Can you say amen? I went to a meeting one night. It was R.W. Shambaugh tent meeting years ago. And they were in this huge gospel tent. And I remember I went in at late because I got off from work. I got that through Tampa traffic. I went in and I sat down. I hadn't been saved too long. Very self-conscious. And not only self-conscious, but I didn't want anything to be the flesh. If something manifests, I wanted to be God. I don't want to try to make anything happen, work anything up. So I didn't go there with a predisposition to doing something crazy. I just went in to hear the word and be blessed and receive whatever God had for me. And I sat down behind a man, and he was impressive because he looked like this brother right here in all respects. Beautiful, but he had a pinstripe vested suit on. And you know, those look like patent leather shoes. I mean, and you know, he just looked like a lawyer, a doctor, or something, highly successful businessman, and he was in his, you know, he's starting to get some gray, and he was sitting in front of me, and he was so dignified, and through the entire service, he was so dignified. Sometimes people, amen, raise their hands, and he sat with that very dignified, and right in front of me, and I'd look for a little quiver, a little shiver, a little something to say he was responding to anything, and he was just stoic, just sitting there, and then right near the end of the service, they begin to sing the praises of God. And they begin to lift up Jesus. And I just got lost in worship. I lifted my hands. I closed my eyes. I was worshiping the Lord. And the Spirit of God, and then it began to pick up. I felt that momentum picking up. The Spirit of God began to move. And I suddenly found myself running around that place. Because, you see, this is better felt than tell. If it's never happened to you, you don't understand it. I don't expect you to understand. But when it wells up inside you, something has to happen. I feel like I would explode if I didn't run, jump, holler, or do something. You do not want me to explode, do you? All right, thank you. Cut me some slack then. Amen. You've never jumped for joy? I see these people win $160 million in lotto. And they're standing there. You know, we interviewed one couple one time and said, yeah, we might add a little room on to the house. We ain't going to get another house. You know, they're retired. They got money. They live in Fort Lauderdale. They got, you know, a boat sitting out there, the canal that comes up to their house. They're set for life, you know. And they said, well, we might take a little trip. And I thought, you don't deserve it. You don't know how to spend it. Can you say, man, what is wrong with you? Amen. I mean, y'all to jump one time. They used to jump up and down and kiss a guy when they won a Maytag washer and dryer. Can you say, man, the price is right. He got more sugar for people winning an appliance. Can you say, man? Amen. I got me a new washer. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. I got eternal life in Jesus, and I can't love on him. Amen. That loving on a stranger for a dryer. And got to pay tax on it when they get the sucker home. Anyway, I found myself running the perimeter of that tent. And at first I was self-conscious when I came to myself, but I was too far gone to stop. I wanted to make it back to my seat. I didn't want people to just focus on me. I was going to make the whole circle and get back to my seat. I don't know when I stood up, when I started. But I did notice there's a guy running in front of me. In his three-piece vested suit. Hallelujah. And I said, it ain't just me, and it ain't just emotionalism. Can you say amen? And why did we do that foolish thing? Listen, David's dance before the Lord, I don't believe that was some choreographed thing. I believe it is an overwhelming expression of joy. Because the Bible said he danced before the Lord how? With all of his might. I don't think it was pretty to look at from man's vantage point. I think it was pleasing from God's vantage point. Amen. Because he's chosen the foolish things of this world and to bring to naught the wisdom of the wise. Can you say amen? And David, when the ark is coming back, he said, we can't just have protocol here today. We can't just have the normal, you know, hurrah, hurrah, the ark is back. No, the ark is back. That means God is going to fight for us. God is going to defend us. God is going to stand between us and any enemy that would ever threaten us. Almighty God will stand up when anybody stands against us. And so when he saw that ark coming back, he took off his royal robe. He laid it aside. Don't get excited. This is as far as my royal robe can take me. Amen. It's right here. He laid it aside. Amen. He took his robe and he had to pull it up because you can't dance with all your might with something all the way down to the ground. He had to pull that royal robe up and use it like a big old baby diaper and stuff it in his belt. Can you say amen? Amen. And then with his legs showing, can you imagine that? The king is walking out here. Amen. How humiliating. How beneath him. Oh, his wife had a hissy fit. Amen. She said, how beneath you. How undignified. Because he danced before the Lord with all of his might. Can you say amen? He had a spell. He cut a shine. Amen. And his wife got so embarrassed because this is the king of Israel. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if suddenly there was a peace treaty, a prayer was offered in America, there was a peace treaty in the Middle East and a peace treaty between Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan, amen, and the President of the United States, amen, come out, took off his blazer and threw it down, amen, ripped his pant legs up and rolled them up to his knees, got out in the White House lawn, can you say amen? Everybody say, that ain't right. That ain't right. Well, it was right when it's a genuine praise, not just an emotional outburst, but something welling up that can't be held in. And when his wife criticized David, you know what he said? He said, in other words, he wasn't done praising God. That was not the end of it. The ark is back. We're going to praise him every day for this. He said, I will be even more undignified than this. Can you say, man? See, that's what thrilled me. It thrilled me more, I think, than the blessing I got, because I was used to it. I was born in this fire, born again in this fire. Praise God. Amen. But listen, when I saw the dignified man outrunning me, that gave me some credibility. Can you say amen? He's not just crazy. If he's crazy, that doctor or that lawyer is crazy too. Your heart song is what you want to express. It's like going to a Hallmark store. And if you love somebody, daughter, mother, son, brother, and you want to express something to them of what you feel in your heart, you go to Hallmark and you read and you read and you read and you finally land on what your heart wants to say. But they put it in words that you or I couldn't articulate. You know what the Holy Ghost does? He looks into your heart and says, what do you want to say to Jesus, Pamela? What do you want to say to Jesus for what he's done for you? And when he sees and finds what she wants to express but can't find words, she doesn't have to have words anymore. Because words are going to come. And they're not, listen. I know on the day of Pentecost they were for a sign. French man heard it in French. Spanish man heard it in Spanish. Italian heard it in Italian. But the Bible said that's not the end of tongues. Amen. When a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he doesn't speak unto men. He speaks unto God. Billy Graham, I remember Billy Graham went to, they had invited him because he was, years ago, was at a World Congress on Evangelism in Holland. And there was such a mighty revival in South America. And he said, I have to commend the churches in South America where this revival is taking place. He said, the great influx of souls, the great evangelistic effort in South America is largely due to the Pentecostal movement there. Amen. And that was a feather in our hat to be given credibility. Listen, the bottom line is we're reaching people for Jesus. Amen. And we're reaching them. Real evangelism, where the Spirit's really moving, it's not just Christians getting experiences, it's people getting saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And people were getting saved in South America till the born-again rate had exceeded the natural birth rate. And for every baby born, there was two born into the kingdom. Two souls born into the kingdom. And so he recognized that. And so he was asked to come to, it was either Lee College, Church of God, or Assembly God Bible College to give us, and said he would come because he gave credibility. Said he was going to give the address to the graduating class going out into ministry. And he said he had a 4-point sermon. But there'd been a lot of preliminary. He decided, he said, to leave the 4th point off and just deliver the 3 points of a 4-point sermon to condense for the time's sake. And so at the 3rd point, he closed, prayed, sat down, and turned it back over to the moderator. The moderator walked to the podium. Suddenly, there was tongues in the back of that building. Somewhere over to the side interpreted those tongues. And after the service was over, Billy Graham came to the moderator, and he said, when that man over here spoke, after what happened, he said, that was my 4th point. What he said was just a capsulized version of what my 4th point was. See, he was done, but God wasn't. But it confirmed to him, this is not just gibberish. This is not just emotionalism. This is the Holy Spirit expressing Himself. You want miracles? You've got to let God loose. You want mighty wonders? You've got to get God out of the box. And I'm not just talking about denominational. I'm talking about Pentecostal, full gospel. Come on, we got it down too. We got it down to a science. Amen. We push the buttons. Everything's on cue. The Holy Spirit needs some leverage. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If He wants to interrupt our praise service and take it to another level, He is welcome to. Mike won't care. If He wants to fall on Mike and him play a tune that he's not got any music to, it's okay with Mike. Can you say, man, he'll go with the flow. I'm glad we got a guy that'll go with the flow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If he wants to change my message, it's okay. I haven't got to the first point of it yet. Hallelujah. It's a good one. I can't wait to deliver it to you. I worked many hours to compose it. Praise God. But God's got a better one. We might actually hear what God has to say, not only here in outline form from His Word, but by His Spirit, praise God. Maybe somebody in this room is going to find your heart song. Hallelujah. You're going to become a hallelujah from head to foot. Praise the Lord. You're going to praise Him when you go to work and praise Him on the way home. You're going to begin to put on something that inspires you to worship, not something that inspires you to just go flat and fizzle out. The beat can't carry you very far for very long. But the Lord can take you all the way through. Did my emotions get involved? Absolutely. Serve the Lord with gladness, all you lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Seeking God is not a solemn thing. It's a joyful anticipation of Him responding to us when we seek Him with all of our heart. Can you say amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And rejoicing, that praise that wells up our heart song, is based on deep gratitude for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Something we never lose focus on, no matter what immediate circumstance we're in. Doesn't change what He did at the cross. Doesn't change where we're going to live forever. Can you say amen? We're in the intermediate stage of eternity right now. Praise God. But one day all this is going to burst into forever, and nothing that's happening in time can compare with what's coming. Can you say amen? And Paul said, I suppose the sufferings, and he went through it. You ought to read the list sometime. He went through it every day of his life. It was something, always something, the enemy bringing, buffeting him. But he said, I suppose the sufferings of this present world not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us and in us on that day. So he wasn't locked into time. He wasn't living for time. He was living for eternity. He was looking past the immediate to the eternal. Looking past the moment to infinity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. To infinity and beyond. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not Buzz Lightyear. Can you say amen? That's the scripture. Amen. It gets way beyond infinity, which really it can't, but you know what I'm saying. Some of us can't hardly grasp eternity. We're so locked into time. Materialistic message has made us more aware of the here and now. Amen. Instead of what God has given us already in Christ. The day you draw your last breath, your next breath, your last breath here, your next breath. Somebody said death is not a period in the life of a Christian. It's a comma. Hallelujah. Everybody say a comma. To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. Praise God. That's something to thank Him for every single day. Hallelujah. I hope you discover your heart song in 2010 because God wants to give you one. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, always making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is a participation thing, worship, praise. Everybody needs to find your heart song. You might not, please, if you think, listen, if you don't, if it bothers you to think that God may do something that you've seen me do and He's going to make you, He's not going to make you do anything. He didn't make me do that. Brother Bimble, why'd you do it? Because I explode. I just have to explode. No, it just wells up until I can't contain it. And I got to do something with it. Hallelujah. I break loose. It's a personal thing. It is. It's highly personal. You know, your break, you know, you might crack a smile. You might get a twitch in, like the donkey on Shrek. You might get a twitch in the eye. Amen. Amen. You might get a tear in your eye. You might just sit and on the outside not be showing anything, but on the inside you're bowing before the Lord. amen, while you're seated in your seat, but you're responding to the presence of God. Amen? To the presence of God. If he doesn't show up, you're going to hear a good sermon. It's going to be theologically correct, biblically accurate, as much as study and depending on the Holy Ghost for that part can do. But the rest of it, God has to do it between you and God. Your receptivity and God seeing your heart and your hunger, your desire for him and manifesting himself to you. Hallelujah. That's what healed me of cancer. The prayer of faith saved the sick because the Lord raised me up. Praise God. What a mighty God that we serve today. He's so wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe he's going to take us deeper into a personal relationship. Let me close. I don't know exactly. We used to sing a song, and I'll use this for closing. Brother, would you come? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Amen. That's it. We bring the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We offer up to you sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Listen to Psalm 116 in verse 17 in closing. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. You see, God wants us to do that first. Amen. First we begin by thanking him. Then we call upon his name. Amen. We don't just call upon... See, we're building our faith to call upon his name. He said, why don't you cultivate your thanksgiving? Because it don't take a lot of faith to get God to do what he wants to do. Can you say, man, you don't have to twist his arm to get his will. Hallelujah. Amen. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to publicly praise God for all he's done for me. And then I'm going to call upon his name, and God is going to show himself strong. Listen to Psalm 100. Shout joyfully unto the Lord, beginning with verse 5. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture, the people of his hands. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good and his loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness is to all generations. That's a heart song. Can you say amen? And biblically, giving thanks is actually a sacrifice offering in the Old Testament. It's called the thank offering, the peace offering. In Old Testament days, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God so that he could make a sin offering for the sins of Israel. And when Israel's sins were forgiven, they offered another sacrifice called the peace offering, because peace and reconciliation had come between them and God through that sacrificial offering. How thankful they were is what we just described in these Psalms. This is how thankful the Israelites were that they knew their sins were forgiven. But we are so much more blessed than even this. We don't have to bring sacrifices of blood or offerings of silver or gold for atonement. Jesus has done it all at the cross, completely, perfectly, once and for all. Instead, he wants us to bring him a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving from our lips. Listen, last scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, that is Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise unto God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect the good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is... pleased. Can you say amen? And when a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies be at peace with him. Why? Because they're suddenly going to love you and embrace you? No, because God is going to take up the battle. God is going to defend you. God is going to take up the fight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when God takes up the fight, what more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Your heart song is vital to your victory. It's not an option. It's an imperative. Can you say amen? Let's discover it. Let's discover a heart song. Praise God. You probably won't get happy feet. God will probably give that to me because he knows I'll turn it loose. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a fool for Jesus. Whose fool are you? Who are you a fool for? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. I wonder if our singers can come back and help us sing this. The ones that are left in the building, which might be, there's a couple of them right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to sing this. He's going to play it on here so we can all participate in praise. But we're going to sing it. Mike can sing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just let that play forth. Will you